Okay, welcome everyone to The Deep Dive.
Good to be here.
So today we're digging into a piece of online content. It's a newsletter from April 30th, 2025.
Right, this one's titled Doom and Gloom. Funny pick. Deceit. No agenda news.
Exactly. It's from John C. Dvorak and Adam Curry, the guys behind the No Agenda show. And our plan is basically to unpack their take on things, you know, current events, how they talk to their audience, all based just on what's in this specific newsletter.
Sounds good. Let's jump in.
So first off, the timing. It landed right before May Day, May 1st.
Yeah, that definitely stood out. And they don't just like mention it in passing. They actually go into the history a bit.
Oh, yeah. What's their angle on it?
Well, they claim it started in Europe, basically as a spring festival, sort of marking the halfway point between the spring equinox and the summer solstice.
Huh. Okay, so like a pagan thing originally.
Seems to be what they're suggesting. Then they connect that origin to its later significance for communists.
Oh, right. They mentioned the International Communist Party, especially in the Soviet Union, really adopting it.
Exactly. It's quite a historical leap they make there.
And then almost in the same breath, they suggest a donation.
Huh, yeah. The $51.25 donation.
Clearly a nod to the date, 5/1/25.
Definitely. It shows how they, you know, weave current events or even historical points directly into their funding appeals.
Which brings us nicely to their fundraising. It seems, well, pretty central to their whole operation, judging by this newsletter.
Oh, absolutely. It's not just one thing either. They've got several different ways they ask for support.
Okay, like what did you notice?
Well, there's this Commodore status thing. Sounds like it's limited time.
Right. Gives you executive producer and VIP status. Creates a bit of urgency, maybe.
Probably. So they have their standard V4V, value for value. They talk about it like it's their sort of pioneering model. Random amounts.
So pay what you think it's worth.
Basically, yeah. A very direct link between, you know, the listener and the show's funding.
What else?
They also push the EP or executive producer donation that gets you a media credit.
Ah, so more public acknowledgement for presumably a larger amount.
Seems like it. And interestingly, they still take checks, like physical checks.
To a P.O. box in California.
Yep, El Cerrito. They even mention they'll take foreign currency checks.
Wow, okay. That suggests a pretty broad, maybe international audience.
Could be. It really shows they're trying to cover all bases, making it easy for anyone, anywhere, to contribute however they prefer.
So audience funding is definitely key. Now, the newsletter also spends some time on politics, specifically the first 100 days of the Trump administration.
Right. They comment on how the mainstream media is covering that milestone.
And what's their view on that coverage?
They seem a bit dismissive of it. They point out examples where they think news outlets are trying to forecast, you know, negative stuff, like predicting empty shelves because of Trump's deportation policies or issues arising from tariffs on China.
So they're skeptical of those predictions.
Very skeptical. It positions them against, you know, the established news narrative.
And they also talk about polling, don't they?
Oh, yeah. They describe this intense scrutiny, like minute-by-minute polling, focusing on any tiny dip in popularity.
How do they characterize that?
They call it borderline comedic.
Comedic? That's a strong word. It suggests they see it as excessive, maybe manufactured.
Yeah, that's the vibe. Using a word like comedic frames them as sort of detached, rational observers looking at a media frenzy. It reinforces their whole alternative news identity.
Okay. Then they shift gears a bit and ask about some government reports.
Yeah.
Or the lack thereof.
Right. They question what happened to these supposedly daily reports on government waste.
They give specific examples, too. Something about Guatemala.
Yeah. Transgender promotion in Guatemala, funded by USAID under Samantha Powers, they say, and other foreign projects.
So they're implying these reports existed and then stopped or were hard to find.
It's a bit unclear, but they're definitely raising questions about transparency, especially regarding foreign aid spending. They also hint that maybe similar waste exists elsewhere, like the Department of Defense.
And that bureaucrats might be hiding it.
That seems to be the implication. It taps into that classic theme of government inefficiency and maybe obstruction.
And then they give this overall assessment of how the Trump administration is doing, using a sports analogy.
A football game analogy, yeah.
Yeah.
They basically say the Trump team is losing.
Losing why? According to them.
Well, they point to internal issues, carping and resistance, plus legal challenges, judicial stuff, and China.
So external and internal pressures.
Exactly. But then they pivot and say the real loser isn't Trump, it's the American taxpayer.
Ah, connecting it back to the audience's wallet.
Mm-hmm. It's a direct way to frame their political commentary in terms of financial impact for the average person listening.
They also take aim at PDS, right, over a graphic.
Yeah, this specific graphic that apparently included the letter F.
Okay. And the issue was?
Well, according to the newsletter, PBS presented this F as representing a plurality, but they claim it actually represented the Democrat part of the public.
And so they see that as?
They call it a meaningless smear of Trump.
Yeah.
So yeah, even public broadcasting isn't spared their criticism.
It really highlights how interpretation of data, even simple graphics, can be, you know, politically charged.
Definitely. They're presenting it as a clear case of media bias, as they see it.
Okay, let's circle back to the money side for a second, because besides those initial calls, they really push recurring donations.
Oh, yeah, heavily. They mention a favorite option, $33.33 a month.
$33.33, that's specific.
It is. They even note it's become more popular than an older $11.11 monthly option.
Interesting, they track that kind of detail. Those odd numbers must be memorable, maybe.
Could be. Or and symbolic for their community. They also offer more lucky numbers options. And a newer one, $4 a week.
$4 a week? Or 75 cents an hour, they calculate it. Trying to make it seem really small, accessible.
Exactly. Breaking it down like that makes it feel more manageable for people, maybe.
And then there's the big one, the knighthood layaway.
Right. $50 a month for 20 months, that's a $1,000 commitment, basically.
Wow. A layaway plan for a donation status?
Yeah. And of course, you can just do a custom amount too, a do-it-yourself option.
So really, from a few bucks a week to a grand over time, plus one-off donations, they've got it covered.
It's a very comprehensive system. It suggests they really understand their audience and want to provide options for, well, pretty much every level of financial support.
And they wrap up the newsletter with a pretty explicit statement about all this, right? Under support, no agenda.
Yep. They flat out say their independent news coverage is only possible because of this direct audience support.
No corporate influence, no advertisers.
That's the core message. They claim this freedom lets them be unbiased, unlike, you know, traditional media outlets.
It's their main selling point, essentially. Independence through direct funding.
And it likely resonates strongly with listeners who are perhaps distrustful of mainstream media sources. They're offering an alternative perspective. Funded differently.
Okay, so let's recap this deep dive into the April 30th, 2025 No Agenda News newsletter. We've seen their specific take on political events.
Right, particularly that critical view of how the media was covering the early Trump administration.
And we've looked closely at how they engage their audience, especially their very direct and quite varied fundraising methods.
Mm-hmm. We got a window into their worldview, their concerns about media bias, government spending, and just how vital those listener contributions clearly are to keep them going.
It really makes you think about how things are changing, you know, the relationship between creators and audiences.
Definitely. It's a different model.
Which kind of leads to a final thought for you, the listener. When you see this kind of direct appeal for support, this reliance on voluntary contributions across so many different levels, what does this fundraising model really tell us about the shifting landscape of news media? How is that relationship between news creators and news consumers evolving in this digital age?
Yeah, it's definitely something worth considering, a different way of doing things, for sure.